Brishus, Rabbi Willing, Brishus, Rabbi Spleich. The topic is overwhelming, and the practical relevance is as well overwhelming, and it takes a tefillah that we should ask that Hashem should we should be able to learn the sugya properly and halacha aliba de hilchata and and those who are mekayim this din, hopefully Hashem should be, all the poskim when they discuss this, Hashem should give they conclude with a bracha that shomer mitzvah leyador dvar ra, that people are doing the mitzvah trying to help other people, save other people's lives, Hashem should protect them. Now, when is it a mitzvah, when is it aser, when is it a optional thing to endanger yourself to save somebody else? It's not just relevant to war. We'll talk about all the cases that Israel. We'll try to talk about all the practical cases it's relevant to. But we have to start with the Rishonim. So the Beis Yosef in Tav Chav Vav quotes the Haggos Maimoni, which I don't have in the source sheet, but you've seen it in the Makoros. It's really what Tav Chav Vav is very very short in the Beis Yosef and the Sma and the Pesachei Tshuva. So the Haggos Maimoni says that it's a violation of lo tamon adam reyecho if I see somebody drowning and I don't go and save them, even if it means putting myself at risk, and I'm chayiv to do such a thing. I have a mitzvah in the Torah to go save somebody's life, even if it means putting myself at risk. I have the Haggos Maimoni. Baruch Hashem. Oh, yes, I do have it on the first page. Good. So that's a very famous Haggos Maimoni. The Beis Yosef says a very short, curt point about this. Nira, it seems, shetam neisha halavada v'usafik. The other person's life is endangered, and he's vada, he's certainly going to lose his life if I don't save him. V'usafik, I'm only suffik, doubt whether I'm going to save my life, and therefore it makes sense, it's reasonable, it must be that I should go and save his life. That's the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes nobody who argues with this and seemingly accepts it. Yet when he gets to Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. The Sma makes a big deal about this, and he says Hishmitu the Rif Rambam and the Rosh and the Mechaber left it out, and maybe the Mechaber left it out because he saw that the other Rishon don't quote it. Many Achronim Tshuvas, that when they talk about this topic, they quote that Sma as saying the Sma thinks we don't really pass in this. I go with my meaning. That's definitely possible. That is what the Sma means. It's also possible the Smol is just conjecturing why did this Beis Yosef not bring it in Shulchan Aruch, not to discuss it, because it's one of those topics that we only have indication of one of the Rishonim. In fact, since he wrote in the Beis Yosef a Svara where he agrees with it, and he even gave his explanation for it, so it's not that he disagreed with it, it's not that he rejected it, rather he just didn't quote it, because he didn't see there was a big discussion, he didn't see it found in the Rishonim. And yes, there are many times that Shulchan Aruch quotes things that are only by one Rishon, but this time he didn't feel like he was going to do so. Whether or not that's the Smol's intention, either way, we do have already some indication there is definitely room to argue. The Sma opened that door by pointing out that not everybody quotes this. Where does that Maimoni come from? He tells you it's from Yerushalmi. It comes from Yerushalmi. Which Yerushalmi? Yerushalmi is pretty big. We'll talk about the Yerushalmi that everybody points to. And this is the first raya on this side. We're going to have three rayas for the Haggos Maimoni, and we'll have four rayas against. There's dozens of rayas beyond what I'm going to discuss. But these are the main three or four rayas in each direction. And then we'll talk about all the Rishonim, we'll talk about all the postkim as we go forward. So the proof that the Haggos Maimoni quoted is from the Yerushalmi, and I have this on the first page, Raya Aleph. The story goes with Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami, who was a Talmud of Rab, or he was certainly one of the great Amoraim, was taken captive by some bandits. Rabbi Yonatan said, he was taken, we better start preparing Sedinim, we better start preparing a funeral for him, because there's no way Rabbi Ami is going to be saved. Reish Lakish says to him, I'll take the risk of being killed, or I'm going to kill those bandits to make sure to save Rabbi Ami. Don't leave it to me, he's not going to have a funeral, he's not going to die, I'm going to make sure that we save Rabbi Ami. Ana Izzel, and he went, and he was Matthias, he paid off, he bribed those bandits, and he got back, Rabbi Ami safe, and everybody, Shalma Yisrael, everything worked out, nobody was killed. And in fact, humorous ending, it says, Reish Lakish talked to those bandits and told them, you guys know we have a big rabbi, a big savun, a big elder, you should get a bracha from him, and I'll daven for you guys to have success. I don't know, in your banditry or whatever you're in stealing. And they come to Rabbi Yochanan, the Chavrus of Reish Lakish, And Rabbi Yochanan gives them a bracha. Whatever you guys think about doing to other people, you should have done to yourself. Okay, and comes out that bracha was their curse on their way back home. All the torture that they're trying to do to Rabbi Ami and others happened themselves, and they never made it back to their Asferusa, whatever, back to their place, because they died along the way. That was Rabbi Yochanan's bracha to them. Now, this story seemingly is a proof that Reish Lakish endangered his life to go save Rabbi Ami. Seems like you're allowed to do that. Not only allowed to, Rabbi Ami, it seems like Reish Lakish took it upon himself to do this, and he thought it was a chiyuv. That's how the Ghost Maimon read the story. And to add a little bit more, perhaps there's no room for a optional category. Either it's a mitzvah in the Torah to save someone's life, lo tamal adam re'echa, or there's an iser to endanger your life. That's v'chai behem or ishmat v'kol dovara. You're not allowed to endanger your life. So there's no room for optional. Whether I could decide whether I want to risk my life, either I have a mitzvah or I have an iser. And if Reish Lakish did, it must be it's a mitzvah. That's not conclusive. This is just a possible l'chora svara. But either way, this is the first proof for this approach. I guess I'm not going to get back and forth to each and every raya, so I'll just say right now, the rejections of this proof are kind of, to me, obvious. It seems not to be such a wonderful proof. Although, okay, we have Ema and we have a respect, of course, for the Rishonim, but there's seemingly lots of reasons it's not such a great proof. First of all, who said we paskin Reish Lakish? Maybe Rabbi Yonatan was right. We should have prepared a funeral for Rabbi Ami. There was no way he was going to come back. Two is maybe Reish Lakish was just doing a mitzvah chasidus. He was doing it something optional. He didn't have to do it. He went on his way. Or Reish Lakish perhaps knew that he would be able to pay off the bandits. He didn't think he was in danger. He himself was a bandit before he was chozer b'tshuva. He thought he knew how to work the system. He didn't really think Rabbi Ami was about to die. He didn't think he was in danger's life. The expression he used, ana ada katil, I might die by doing this, it was an exaggeration. Really, he wasn't going to die. That's the third. The fourth one is a fascinating one. Some achronim like this dichoy. The fourth reason why there's not a good proof, perhaps, is the Sefer HaChassidim says you're not supposed to. His shita is actually very important. He's the third source on this first page. He says, "Lo tamal adam re'echa, see someone drowning, give a mitzvah and go save them." However, if they're overweight, kaved, huy azor, and if you're going, and then if I'm going to go save him, I might drown as well. You have no mitzvah to save him. So the Sefer HaChassidim says, but what about if you want to endanger life to save somebody else who is a chassid, a tzaddik? So then he says, if someone's a bigger Talmud Chacham than you, you're allowed to endanger your life to save them. That's the Sefer Chassidim we'll get back to. But that Sefer Chassidim might be also useful to explain this Yerushalmi. Rabbi Ami was a Talmud Rav. Reish Lakish was already a little further. He's a Chavrusa with Rabbi Yochanan, who was a Talmud Rav. It could be. He had so much respect for Rabbi Ami, he thought, it makes sense. I am allowed to, and I should, endanger my life to save someone who is a greater Talmud Chacham than I am. Now, that poses a big question, like, why would that be? Usually, you can't give your life for anybody else. And the Sefer HaChassidim doesn't sound like just even risking your life. Even if it's a question that the Goyim come and say, we're going to kill you, or we'll kill your friend, you're allowed to, and not that you have to go kill your friend. We'll talk about all the different chalukim soon. You're allowed to even give up your life to save a Talmud Chacham. So that Ramosha, so Sefer HaChassidim does say that, but Ramosha has a very hard time with that because Lamaisa, you have a mitzvah of chai behem. There's an idea of kedimos. We have some sort of priority system in the end of Chagiga. If you have to save two people who are drowning, we have a priority system who you save first. Okay, and there Talmud Chacham, there is such a concept. Talmud Chacham has some sort of kedima, but not that you should give up your life for them. And we'll get back to Ramosha, but there's such a sheet in the Sefer HaChassidim. Sitzel Yazar Avad, you like it. Ramosha doesn't think it makes sense. Okay, that's the first source, but seemingly there are a lot of rejections. Number two, the same sort of back and forth, I'll say very quickly. There's three of the Amorim that went to, this is already at the top of the second. Well, actually, my page are going to be different than yours, whatever. This is already the Raya Bays. Amim Marzut Rav Ashi were in the palace. They were probably petitioning. That was only Yerushalmi. That
no one else posited the difference.
I didn't see any Achron quote any other Yerushalmi. I'm sure there could be others. Everybody, this is like a well-trodden topic, and I looked through, I'll show dozens of Achronim. Nobody quoted. I wouldn't be surprised if there was another one. I didn't see any, though, any quoted. The next source is a Gemara Ksuvos that has there that Amemar, Marzutra, Ravashi were petitioning the king for something, and they were preparing a feast. There was the servants of the king were preparing a feast, and Ravashi saw Marzutra's face turn pale. Maybe he had diabetes or something, and he was fasting or whatever it was, and he wasn't doing very well. Ravashi took his finger, stuck his finger into one of the foods, and put it into the mouth of Marzutra, and Baruch Hashem, he did much better. And the king's servant said, "What are you doing over here? Who do you think you are? This is the king's food." So he said, he gave an excuse. "No, I thought this the food was bad. It was spoiled." Davar Acher Chazoy Bay. So the Gemara said, "Well, how do we know you're telling the truth?" Okay, the Ishtakach, they found it was true. I don't know, they maybe fed it to a dog or something like that, and the dog died, whatever it was. The Gemara said, "How did he know? How did Rav Ashi know that the food was spoiled, that the food was no good?" So they said, "Because he saw a Ruch Sarat that was flying over it." Okay, some sort of metaphysical thing. So the Machronim proved this, the Chasam Sofer quotes this as a proof for the Hagos Maimoni, that you're allowed to endanger yourself to save somebody else. Now, I think the same rejections apply, perhaps, and more. First of all, it's possible that we don't pass on Rav Ashi. Okay, but Rav Ashi is often, we do pass on Rav Ashi. Second of all, it could be he just did something that was optional. He didn't have to do this, but he went beyond and above and beyond to do this. Or it could be he didn't think that his life was in danger just because he took the king's food. Maybe the king would throw him in jail. Maybe he'd get fined, beat up, whatever. Who knew that he was going to get killed for that? And or he saw with his Ruach HaKodesh that there was the tzarat around the food, and he thought that that would be a good excuse, and therefore the Romans would take it, and therefore he was not actually endangering his life. Okay, not such a clear proof. Third proof. This one's a little more complicated in the Cheshvan. Famous classic story, two people in the desert, one cup of water. And they can't both drink. If they both drink it, if one of them drinks it, they'll live. The other person is going to die. And if they both drink it, they're both going to die. Says Ben Petura that it's better that they should both drink half of the glass and both die, so they shouldn't see the death of the other person. Ajaba Rabbi Akiva, until Rabbi Akiva came along, he was Dorish Rechai Behem. It's better that you should live, take care of yourself. And the person who has the glass, he's supposed to drink the entire thing, even that means death for the other person. Chavos Yair says, you see from this Gemara, only when is me versus him. Vadai, I'm going to live, or he's going to live. And it's one or the other, and we have to pick, then I come first. But Rabbi Akiva might agree with Ben Petura. He would agree that you're supposed to drink half the glass if it would be, let's say, Safek and Vadai. Let's say, I just drink something in the last few hours. And now we're both stuck in the middle of the desert. And this guy hasn't taken a drink in the last 2 days. And we're 2 days from civilization, and we're lost. We have no idea where we're going to, until we get to civilization. Like, I'm Suffolk. I might be able to walk 2 days without water. My friend, there's not a chance. If he drinks the entire cup, he'll live. And if I drink it, I'll also live. But it's a Suffolk. If I don't drink it, he might live, and I might live. So what do you do in that case? Says the Chavos Yair, you see, Rabbi Akiva only had the biggest chiddush to say is, if it's my life versus his life, but if it's a Suffolk, I have to put myself at a little bit of risk. I might make it to civilization in order to save my friend. So that's the Chavos Yair. There aren't so many rejections to this proof. But just to explain how we might be able to reject it. What's Ben Petura thinking? And there's a whole discussion. Do we follow Ben Petura? Right? Usually we follow Rabbi Akiva. The Rambam doesn't quote the Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't quote Ben Petura either. Okay, so what? So maybe we should still follow Rabbi Akiva. Halacha Rabbi Akiva mechaviro. But the Shoal Tur of Moshe said maybe we should follow Ben Petura because he's based on the drasha of V'chai Behem, and the Gemara makes Chai Achicha Imach, and V'chai Achicha Imach is used for the drasha that you're supposed to machzir. Rabbi Yochanan says you're supposed to give back ribis ketsutza, and we paskin Rabbi Yochanan by giving back ribis ketsutza V'chai Achicha Imach. It's the right. So that's what the Rambam quotes. So maybe we can't paskin Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Lemaisa, Rav Moshe, and all the other... Rav Moshe comes out that we don't paskin Ben Petura, and you could paskin both drashas. Okay. Now, what was Ben Petura thinking? Why would it be I have to give... Why should both people die just because I have a glass of water? Why should I have to give him my glass of water to save somebody else's life? And not even save to make us both die. So, Rav Moshe is a pshat that there's a mitzvah of tzedakah. And our Hatzalas, I have a mitzvah to give up. Look, my friend's dying, I'm dying. But I have a mitzvah to go help him. So just because I'm holding the glass of water doesn't make it any better than if it would be on the table. So it's just like if it was on the table, the two of us, we shouldn't be, then we wouldn't, I don't know, it doesn't matter who gets there first, says Rav Moshe, according to Ben Petura, we'd both have a mitzvah to take this glass of water and give it to each other. So that's where, therefore Ben Petura says we have to split it, because we both have a mitzvah to go save each other. The Chazon Ish has a similar story as far as that Chai Olam, saving someone's life for 10 years, yes, of course, Pekuch Nefesh. But it's not fundamentally different than saving someone's life, Chai Shah, saving someone's life, even though it'll be for another 5 hours. He'll drink half a glass, he will live a little bit longer, he'll live 5 more hours, okay, he'll die. But that 5 hours, I have a mitzvah of Pekuch Nefesh to save my friend. He has a mitzvah to save my life 5 hours. Now, it could have been more efficient, it would have been better if we both saved someone, one of the two lives for 10 years, okay, or 20 or 50 years, but so what? The mitzvah upon both of them, so to speak, conflicts, and now they have no choice but to give each other the half of the glass. Okay, the Rav Chaim has a whole different approach, that lo tachmon is so chomer that it means that he doesn't hold the chai achicha emach, that your life comes first, ever. It's not a mitzvah. It's not, that's how Rav Chaim learns. So, according to these explanations, we might be able to explain why there's not such a proof. That the Gemara, okay, let's say, I'll say, according to, let's say, the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe, those two approaches, Ben Petura says, when there's my life versus his life, each of us have a mitzvah to save each other. Okay, so we're supposed to. And therefore, we both die. But if it would be Sofik and Vandai, one guy is, I might live completely, the Suffolk, and the other guy, he's definitely going to die unless I give him a drink of water. What would Ben Petura say about such an invented case? What about that case, the Suffolk and the Vadai case? So then, Ben Petura might not say split it 50-50. Now Ben Petura might come and say you give it completely to the guy who's Vadai, the guy who's going to die otherwise without the water. And since Ben Petura might agree in that case, so basically what I want from this, according to the Chazon Ish, would be the Gemara took a case where Ben Petura has, they're splitting it. The biggest chiddush Ben Petura is that they're both going to die. So the Gemara chose a case where Vade Vivade, where it's the biggest chiddush for Ben Petura, that he has, so to speak, a chumrah, he has to tell us that they're both going to die in such a case. And even so, you're supposed to split it. But if it's Suffolk and Vade, Ben Petura could agree to Rabbi Akiva that you give it to the guy who's Chai Olam. Since Ben Petura would agree with Rabbi Akiva in such a case, the Gemara chose a case where there was a machlokas, not a case where they both agree. That's why, that's the explanation that you can give why it's not such a good proof. Other give other answers. Rav Avadya quotes the Maharam Shik. There's another answer. You could say the Gemara meant, doesn't mean vade vade. It doesn't mean literally what the Gemara sounds like. That im shote achamehem agin lishav. One of them drinks, he's going to live. It's not vadai. As in with many things in life, the things were always suffix. Maybe there's going to be a rescue team and they'll find them. Or maybe this guy will have a certain amount of extra charge and he'll be able to get to the yeshuv. Just even though it naturally shouldn't have happened, Hashem will make a miracle for it to happen. Or they'll find some bottle of water in the desert. Since nothing is absolute, nothing's absolutely certain that one of them's going to die and one of them's going to live, therefore, since it's not absolute, therefore, the Gemara, its case, its psak of Rabbi Akiva that you're supposed to drink, whoever has the cup should drink it, and Ben Petura's psak they should split it, is just as equally applicable if it would be Safik and Vadai. So it's not like Chavaz Yair is exactly against the Chavaz Yair. The Chavaz Yair said, the only time Rabbi Akiva says you take the glass is if it's me versus him. But if it's a Safik, so I have to give up my water. I might live, but he's Vadai going to die. I have to give up everything to him. No, says Rabbi Vadai. The Gemara was always talking about a case of Safik. Every time that I might make it back to the yeshuv, maybe we'll find a glass of water, maybe a rescue team will come out. And still the Gemara says, you come first, so it doesn't matter whether it's Safek or Vada, you come first. That's how you could reject this proof. Those are three proofs, and the rejections to the proofs on the side of Hagos Maimon. Now on the other side. The classic Gemara Sanhedrin, which is talking about the idea of Lo Tamod. How far do I have to go to save someone else's life? Do I have to spend my money? Do I have to put myself in pain, embarrassment? How far do you go? So the Gemara says, "Minay l'roi chaver shotuvei minar." If I see somebody drowning, chayar garato, I see a wild animal, or list him, or bandits, I have a mitzvah to go and save him. How do I know? Lo tamo damreach yinal listin. I leave by where a friend's blood is being spilled. The Gemara says, "Wait, you learn from this pasuk? Don't we have a different idea? We have an idea of a shavas aveda. Aveda gufo minayin. How do you know that?" If you find someone's opportunity to return it, how do you know if you have a way to save their physical health, how do you know you're supposed to do that? We have a drasha that includes saving his life. And that's including our Shabbos Aveda. The Gemara says, what's the difference between the two? I'm saying the way Rashi learns. The Gemara says, if it was just Bi'ah Shavas Aveda, Hani B'Libinavshe, it means I have to go and save them. You have Mitzvah Shavas Aveda, you should go and help people out and return their lost objects. So too, you save the guy's life. You returned his health. Wonderful. However, Mitzvah Aguri, Megar Aguri, do you have to spend money to hire someone? Let's say I see someone drowning. I don't know how to swim, but I see there's a professional lifeguard right there, and he's not budget. But if I pay him, he'll go do it. Do I have to do it? Absolutely. Or do I call the professional lifeguard and go do it? Absolutely. That's the obligation of Lo Tamud. Hashem Aveda would only require me to go do it myself. Lo Tamud goes further and goes and requires me even to spend money on it. The Rosh says, do you have to, okay, now, important side point. I'll get to it in just a moment. So, says the Yad Eliyahu, 1600 Lublin, learned with Chachmei Brisk in the time, the 1600s. He has a proof from this Gemara. He says, how far do you have to go for low tamo? Do you have to spend money? Okay, we can talk about money. I have no problem with money. But do you have to give up your life? Do you have to risk yourself? The Gemara never said that. If that was true, that you would have to risk yourself, that's much bigger chiddush. Why did the Gemara say that? The Gemara's looking, what's the chiddush? You have to do a Shabbat Aveda, you have to save his health. Oh, so what's Lotamid? Oh, Lotamid says you have to pay. You have to spend money. Well, if it's true you have to risk your life, that's much, much more important than spending money. And the Gemara didn't say that. So therefore, you see, there's no obligation to spend money. Now, that proof is a proof, but again, it's not clear. It depends on how you read the Gemara. According to the Ran, the Ran says the entire Gemara was always talking about a suffix. The Gemara was also talking about a suffix if I'm able to save him. Because he says, I have another proof. The Gemara brings two reasons why you have to save someone's life. Lo tamar and shavas aveda. He says, even without the drasha ha-shevota lo, you have an idea of rodeith. We have an idea that you have to save people's lives. If somebody's chasing after somebody else, you have a tough chav hai, we have that simon, you have a mitzvah to save. The nirdaf, the person who's being chased after, you're supposed to kill the rodeith. So you see the idea, of course, we already know you're supposed to save people's lives. Lo tam lo tam reyecha is extraneous. Why do I need Hashavas Aveda? And so he says, I'll tell you the difference. If it would only be the rodif, I would say, that's if you know certainly, by killing the rodif, the nirdaf will be saved. It's 100%. It's a simple equation. You kill the rodif, nirdaf is saved. What about if it's unsure? If you try to save it, you might be successful, you might not be successful. You might get the guy, or he might drown, or even after you get him out of the ocean, he might still stop, he still might not be breathing anymore. That's what Lo Tamud comes and tells you, even besofik, you're obligated to go and do it. Once that's the case, once we understand the Gemara like that, according to the Ran, so now, it's not at all clear you can make this deal, because all the Gemara just said if you could spend money, or the Gemara said Beruchas, you'd have to endanger your life to go save them. No. If you're understanding the Gemara like the Ran said, I'm obligated to save someone's life, to jump in, to save them, they're drowning, even though I'm not sure I'll be able to save them. Well then, it doesn't mean I'm supposed to risk my life. Because what would be if it was suffix and suffix? I might save him, but I might die on the way. So then, there's no reason, nobody's going to say, not that goes to my mini, not that you're something, nobody's going to come and say, oh yes, you should risk your life. This Beis Yosef Svara is like, well, you're making a calculation whose life you should save. Well, vadai, someone's vadai going to die is much more important than who's suffix. Yes, but it doesn't make any sense. We're talking about suffix and suffix. And therefore, according to the Ran, there's no proof from this Gemara. Okay, just the Chavos Yair is interesting. It might also be relevant to the rejection. The Chavos Yair says that if people are captives, so we have a lot of halachot in Yoredeh by halachot Slaka about Pidyon and Shvuim. What if, so we have an idea of Ima Brichna Shvuim. The Gemara says you're not allowed to try to have some of the captives run away, because if you have some of the captives escape, then the bandits, the people who are taking the captors, are going to oppress the other captives much worse. Says the Chavos Yair, what about if you're one of the captives and you know a way to run away? You dug a hole, you have a way to escape. Are you allowed to escape knowing that it might cause more pain to the other captives, or they might die because of your escaping? Says the Chavos Yair, there's no such problem. The Gemara is only worried about if it's a third party, and a third party is saving certain people, not others. So then we have to be very careful before he's going to cause someone else death and save some people. That's not allowed. However, if it's you're saving your own skin, there's no problem. It's not causing certain death to somebody else. It's only causing suffix, so you're allowed to come first. So that's a proof in terms of the suffix. And suffix, everybody says, you come first. You're not mechuyev, and there's no reason to put somebody else first when it's a suffix and the suffix. That's the Chavos Yair. And his proof is from the bandits. Nobody, okay, that's the, there's a whole long discussion about captives. do we assume the pidyon shvuyim is shulchan aruch? We say you're not allowed to spend extra money. You're not allowed to save people who are captive by spending yoter mikadei demam. You can't redeem them for more than whatever the. It's a big machlokas. I mean, as a slave or as other captives are sold, whatever, you're not allowed to spend extra money for saving captives. The Pesach Chuvah has a big machlokas. What if you know the captors, hey, we're going to slice his throat, we're going to kill him if you don't give us a lot of money? So some Achram say, well, of course, that at that point, B'kol Nefesh, Dochel Kol Torah. Yeah, we have halacha, okay, you don't spend so much money on B'kol Nefesh, on Pidyon Shvuyim, but this is more important, B'kol Nefesh. And other Achram say, what are you talking about? This is exactly what Pidyon Shvuyim is. So it's a machlokas. When the Stam Shvuyah of the Gemara is discussed, do we mean Pikuch Nefesh or not? This Chavos Yair is an important proof, an important discussion. He's not assuming it's Vada Pikuch Nefesh. Okay? The other proof from this Gemara, in terms of how far does Pikuch Nefesh go, is money. Is there a cap to how much money you have to spend? Sitz Eliezer has a tshuva, where unfortunately this is probably Mais B'Choyom. A patient signed a DNR. Or something to the effect that, or the family says, we don't want you to do any further work. We don't want you to do anything to try to save the patient. And the patient has a heart attack, or the patient has something where the doctor has the ability to do non-invasive, simple things that would be able to prolong the life of a Jewish patient. Is the Jewish doctor who sees this, but the family tells him, don't touch this patient. We don't want you to do anything. Are you allowed to stand idly by and let this patient or the family make the decision that the patient should die? So says Sitz Eliezer L'chora, this depends on what's going to happen. Let's say he does save this person against the family's wishes. He does CPR or he does the simple process and he saves this person's life. What's going to happen? It'll probably be a chol shem, but maybe it'll be a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah, but it'll be in the papers. He'll lose his license and he'll probably get sued, and that'll be the end of his career. So the question is, does he have to lose his job in order to mekayim this halacha, the important mitzvah, a lo tamud? So the Rosh says, do you have to spend money for a lo tamud? So he says, seemingly in the Gemara, yes. However, the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch say there's a cap. Not a cap. There is, we have a condition that you're supposed to get your money back. You're not obligated to spend all your money and then never get paid back. If you save someone's life, you spent a lot of money hiring this lifeguard to save someone's life, and the person and saved, he has an obligation to pay back. Okay, that's the Rosh. And he's coming from a Vriach Ari, saved someone's life from a lion, so you usually don't have to pay them back. Here says the Rosh, everybody agrees you do have to pay him back because, of course, he would want his life saved. Okay, that's the Rosh. Question is, what if the guy doesn't have any money? I know this guy is penniless. I'm spending $200,000 making sure he can get a heart transplant or making sure that he's going to be able to survive. There's not a chance in the world that he's going to pay him back this load of money. Do I have to save his life? So he could have said, perhaps not, the Rosh wouldn't require that. But the Rosh, if you conclude the Rosh is very clear, the Rosh does think you are obligated. You always have to save and spend money on that. The question is he going to pay you back? But you're definitely obligated. As Mefurish in the Rosh, Chavos Yair reads the Rosh, goes back, where the Shoal says you're not obligated. The Chavos Yair says you are obligated to spend your money on saving the person, even if you're not going to get paid back. And it's Mefurish basically in the Rosh, and the Tur like that, it's Meduyik that way. And he says, nobody disagrees with this. Thing is, he didn't have a Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah, the commentary on Sanhedrin, says he thinks you don't even have to spend any money, $0, to save someone's life. If it means working and trying to save the guy, sure, you should do that. But what do you do with the Gemara? The Gemara says you have to hire somebody. He says it means hiring them for free. You don't have to spend money. Or swipe the guy's credit card, the guy who's drowning, take his credit card and spend the money. But you have no obligation to go and spend money. When it says Mitrach Vaguri Megar, it means hiring them either basically not in your bank account or on someone else's bank account or for free. But you're not obligated. Mamone, lo. You're not obligated. Right, that's the Yad Ramah.
What's the rationale for that
is Lo Tamud is like Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda, meaning you could take the Gemara's comparison. There's myriad things that the Gemara could have said. Lo Tamud goes way is much more serious than Hashavas Aveda, and it doesn't say them. For Aveda Midas is a major question. If someone is ready to commit suicide, do you violate Shabbos and do you save them? Do you put your life at risk to save them? And basically, Allah, yes, we do. We go very, very far. But seemingly, this is very relevant to this Gemara, because if someone throws their objects on the street, I don't have to save their life. If someone signs a DNR, so they're throwing away their life. Maybe I have no Hashavas Aveda to go and save their life. That's a big discussion. Rosh Hashanah, Moshe, a big discussion. But from this Gemara, the Yad Ramah would probably say such an argument that just like Hashem is saying, I don't have to spend money saving someone else's thing, so too I don't have to save their health by spending any money. That's one opinion. The Yad Ramah is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch at all. Not even a Yesh. He's not quoted by anybody. However, there's another argument to be made. Maybe you don't have to, the doctor doesn't have to lose his license to try to save this guy. What's that? Jesus spent more than a fifth of your money to go and save somebody. Now, usually the rule is the Rama says that it's a lotase, you're mechuyev to spend all your money. A mitzvah asay, up to a fifth of your money. A lotase, all your money. However, there's a big caveat, the Prima Gadim, lots of Achronim say this, is that maybe lotase is only when it's sheva al tase, but if it's a kumvas, it's only if you eat in chazer. Someone says you have to eat chazer or pay me $1 million. Okay, so I'd spend all my money. But if it's a passive violation of something, then you're not obligated to do a passive violation of lav, and I'm not obligated to spend all my money not to do a passive violation. That's the Prima Gadim. In fact, in my understanding, this is the Rashba in Daf Tes in Bava Kamma. This is a very important shita of many Achronim Chasam Sofer. There's a big group of Achronim who say this. Yes, it's Machlokas. Sita Lezer says this for those two reasons together. The fact that you may not need to spend more than a fifth of your money, as well as the opinion of the Yad Ramah, you don't spend any money on the Talmud, the doctor is not obligated to lose his license in order to try to save somebody. Probably the same thing with Hatzalah, same thing with whatever. Hatzalah actually may be a different thing because there's no way he may lose a license, but he doesn't get parnas from Hatzalah, usually the volunteer. So Hatzalah is a lot more complicated if the patient says, don't save me, and he's Hatzalah, you're a volunteer, so you're really not losing so much parnas. If he is a doctor and he's going to be losing his license because of that, probably the same conclusion would be true.
Hatzalah can't lose his license.
No, he can lose a license not to be an EMT, but he has no parnasa from this. Let's say he's a real estate agent and a volunteer Hatzalah. So he doesn't stand to lose money.
EMS can be fine.
Oh, that's all. They're going to find as much. They're going to go into deep pockets.
For example, in Great Neck, one of the EMS has lost his license.
Okay.
And they lost their ability to treat.
This, but he can treat. But
the
do they mean
ambulance, the entire system. Was they were only allowed to transport and offer Advil. That was
okay. So I still don't know that. Sarachian, is that considered Yotam Chomesh or not for each individual? Yep, I don't know. That's an important question. Okay, next proof is the Gemara and Ayin Dalid.
I'll tell you which one to call.
The Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalid has about if. The famous Gemara where the terrorist comes and says, kill somebody else or I'm going to kill you. And the halacha is, my chazi dama didach sumach tvei, dama de hugaver sumach tvei, who said your blood is redder, you're not allowed to go and kill him. Rashi says, because someone's dying either way. There's Ibn Nisham Hashem is happy that we should pass up on any mitzvah in the Torah as long as no one's going to die. But here, either way, someone's going to die, so you shouldn't add injury to insult, you shouldn't violate an avera as well as having someone die. Therefore, if I'm going to kill somebody, it's not mutter to kill somebody even to save your own life because of this reason. Someone's going to die either way, you're not allowed to kill somebody. That's the Gemara. So there. The proof is, the Gemara only says Ritzicha. It's simple proof. Ritzicha is murder, that's why you have to give up your life, to not murder somebody. But passively to watch if someone's dying, I don't have to give up my life. The Mincha Chinuch brings this as a proof. He says, just like, it's obvious, there are three things you give up your life for, murder is one of them, but Lo Tamid is not one of them, and therefore, just like you don't have to give up your life, if the terrorists would come and say, you choose, cruel but awful choice, he says, you choose, I'm going to kill you, or if you choose, I'll kill your friend. So now, the halacha would be very clear from this Gemara, you're absolutely allowed to tell him, go kill my friend. You can come first. You're not allowed to murder a friend, but you're allowed to tell him that. Because that's a little violation of Talmud, but that's not a violation of Ritzicha. Says the Mechachana, just like I don't have to give my life to save my friend, violate Lo Talmud, so too if it's a Suffolk, I don't have to endanger my life. There's no difference between Kol Nevesh, between a Suffolk and a Vaday, they're all the same, Suffolk and Vaday, just like we Mechal Shabbos for a Suffolk, Kol Nevesh. Or so too, just for a Vaday, Kol Nevesh, so too, therefore I'm not obligated to endanger my life to go save somebody else. That's the Mechachana's Kasha. He doesn't understand the entire Hagos Maimony because of this Kasha. Now, many Achorim say, the Shevet HaLevi says, and I think this is Beis Yosef, it's very nice when we're talking about, you want a Mechal Shabbos, you want to know, are you allowed a Mechal Shabbos or Safik? So yes, V'chai Behem tells you, even a Safik Kol Dehu, even a small chance, yes, you're allowed to go very far to save someone's life. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean when, if the question is the conflict between a mitzvah and Pikul Nefesh, Pikul Nefesh, even a Safik Kol Nefesh, overrides any mitzvah. But what we're talking about, we're comparing a conflict to two different people's lives. So then, yes, now it's a question of my Safik of my life versus Vadi of his life. The Menachem Chinuch Svar is not at all correct or not at all obvious that you should say, just like I don't have to give him my life to save his life, so to Suffolk I shouldn't have to give him my life to save his life. Not at all. That's when you're talking about a mitzvah versus someone's life, when you're talking about a conflict of two lives, so to speak, they balance each other out, like that Svar of Rashi, that Ibn Neshama is very chaviv in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore I can't do another Avir, therefore I have no reason to now say something might be going to have override his vada. Now, the entire concept about which things allowed to, which things I have to give my life for, is not at all, we said the big three, but does it go further in Ratzicha than what meets the eye, what I assume from the Gemara? You're not obligated to. So the Rabbah says, what if the goy comes with a gun or whatever, and he says, the terrorist says, give us your knife, and give us your weapons, otherwise we're going to kill you, but if you give us your weapons, we're going to use them to go kill more people. Do you have to give up your life? Says the Radvaz, yes, you have to give up your life. Just like Ritzicha, you're not allowed to, who said your blood is redder than theirs, so too you're not allowed to give up your weapons. Now the Rayavitz says he doesn't understand this. You're not allowed to murder someone. You don't, yes, you may not murder to save your life, but give them up your weapon, so it may cause someone else to die. But you're not murdering them. You're just watching idly by. So now, what would the Radvaz say? Presumably he would say, one option in the Radvaz is, he goes, maybe Rav Chaim thought this too, the Mechel Chinuch says this far, Avizrayu, a detail of Ritzicha is Lo Tamud. Incredible. You can't watch, yes. Now, the Ravaz might hold, according to the suggestion, if the Goy says, you have a choice, either you can watch this, your friend die, or you could die, which one do you choose? Are you only gonna, only one of you are going to live? So according to Ravaz, I have to say, you have to kill me, I can't watch idly by. That's a maybe Ben Petura type of svara. That's an amazing svara of how far of Lo Tamid goes. However, the Mechel Chinuch doesn't conclude like that, and it seems very far fetched from the Gemara. It seems very, very strange. It's very much further than the Gemara. Rav Moshe also doesn't like this svara either, because Ritzicha is one pasuk in the Torah, and Lo Tamid is another one. Who told us that Lo Tamid should be just as serious as Ritzicha? It's of Israel of Shlichus Damim. Probably it's not. So a different explanation from the Radvaz, even though you could disagree with the Radvaz, but those who would say the Radvaz might say, yes, what happens if I can cause a grump of someone to die? So the Yavitz, he thinks that you're not allowed. If the Goy says, either I want to kill you, or you can go kill somebody in an indirect way. You put someone in a place that's extremely dangerous, and we know he's going to die in a moment, grump, he's going to die. Or you sick a dog on him, and he's going to for sure die because of this. Are you allowed to do that? Says the Yavitz, no. Shvichas Dam is different than Ritzicha. Yes, you may not violate, you may not be murdered in Bezin because of doing such a thing, but that's still causing Shvichas Dam. So the same thing with weapons. If I'm giving over my weapons and causing this terrorist to take them and kill somebody else, says the Radvaz, that's also I have to give my life before that happens. It's a further stretch than Ritzicha directly, or even Gram Ritzicha, but I think the Radvaz might call that Gram Ritzicha, or Gram Ritzicha is included in Shvichas Damim, not allowed, and even you have to give your life, it's not the same as Lo Tamud, where you're completely passive. Okay, last proof, I guess, there's two proofs, Stira Gimel and Stira Dal, just quickly, and then we have the Shailas and Ermaisa. Rabbi Tarfon once had two of the Galilean Jews that came to his door and knocked on his door and said, can you please hide us from the Romans? They're coming after us to kill us. And he said, sorry, go find the hiding somewhere else. I don't want them coming after me. That's how the Meiri, that's how all the Achronim read this Gemara. He didn't want them coming after him. So it seems like you're not obligated to save your life to go save somebody else. Now, there are lots of reasons it's not an absolute proof. One of them is because maybe it's optional, so you decide not to. Okay. Another one is maybe they deserve to die. Maybe they killed someone and they should have been chayiv and based. And you have no obligation to go save someone's life who is, you can even, Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Loz, he would give over people who are chayiv misa to the government. Okay. He's removing thorns from Hashem's garden. Is that a misa chasidus? No, it's not a wonderful thing to do, but you have no obligation of pikuach nefesh to save your life. You have no obligation of pikuach nefesh to save someone's life if they're obligated, they're supposed to die from the malchus. So that's another rejection. Another one is all the whole thing with Safek. Maybe Rabbi Tarfon thought they may be able to hide somewhere else. So he has to be the one. Someone, let someone else do it. A lot of the reason that's not a great proof. The Rosh Hashanah says it in a different way. He says they caused it to themselves. It's their fault. They murdered somebody. Or they're after. Now, it could be probably this was the time of the Korban, and probably it wasn't they killed a Jew, it was probably they killed a Roman. And the Chi of Lamalchus was having to do with when Vespasian was coming to a few years before the Korban Abayis, he was coming to destroy the Galilee. So yes, there was a lot of murder of the Jews and the Romans back and forth. So it doesn't have to be the Chi of Lamalchus, rightly so, but it was their fault that they got into the situation, and he's not obligated to rectify the situation. That's very different than someone's drowning. It wasn't his fault, he just drowned it. He's starting to drown. You have an obligation to save. Last proof, the Gemara Nedarim, very startling, strange Gemara, there's two cities. Someone has a spring. The first city has first rights. And then the spring passes by and goes to the second one. And then the first city knows that if they drink, then the second city won't have enough water. So the Gemara is very clear, the first city can take first. What happens if and they're going to have enough to drink, but their animals are not going to have enough to drink? Are the first of these animals allowed to take before the second city? No, you're allowed to drink before the second city, but you're not allowing your animals drink before the second city because you're going to kill them. Fine. Third thing, what about laundry? Is the first city allowed to do laundry on the account that the second city is not going to be able to drink? Says Tanakhama, no. They have drinking water is much more important than your laundry. Rabbi Yossi says absolutely not. You're allowed to do your laundry. So too bad they won't have any water, and that's Rabbi Yossi. Question is, what was Rabbi Yossi thinking? Why am I allowed to do my laundry on their backs that they're going to die because of this? It seems like this might be a great proof that you're not obligated to. Oh, so it says the Samar Rishon. The Ran explains that you're in pain because you didn't get to do laundry. And it sounds like this in the Gemara is, if somebody doesn't do laundry for a long time, they might catch some disease, they might get chimum, they might get crazy because they don't do laundry. Yes. That's why you're not obligated to leave them drinking water because you want to ensure that your laundry is taken care of. That seems like the best proof of anything. There, if you don't have to, you're allowed to do your laundry and before someone else gets drinking water. It seems like you're not obligated to endanger yourself, even for a very far-fetched possibility that if I don't do laundry, I'm going to catch lice or I'm going to die because of that. I'm allowed to do that. I'm allowed to do my laundry before this person has drinking water. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. That seems to be a great proof. However, most Achron, Ramoshe, Ravadia, quotes the last Achron who says it's not approved, but he quotes even from a Rishon. As for a Sefer Yichse Tanayim from Rabbi Yehuda Bar Kolonimus, he was Talmud of the he's one of the Rishon of the Valley Tosus, Sefer Yuchsin. There he writes an answer to this Gemara. He says the Gemara means that, not that there's no drinking water, it means it's going to be there's no drinking water readily available. They'll go find water somebody else. It means if I take laundry, they won't have readily available drinking water. Okay, they'll go fetch a pail of water somewhere far. That's not my problem. Okay. But not that I can actually watch the person die just because I'm doing laundry. Okay, now on to the Psak and the Shaila. What are we passing on the Shaila? The Beis Yosef perhaps seems to accept the Hagos Maimoni, but he at least quoted Shulchan Aruch may not. Sma seemingly does not accept the Hagos Maimoni. Pesach Chuvah Gudas Eidzo, who quotes a Radvaz, who has a Chuva, Simon Gimel, who says, a terrorist comes and says, I want to chop off your ear, or I'm going to kill your friend. Do you have to let them chop off your ear? To lose an ear, Shein and Shamish to Luyabo. He doesn't say, I'm going to kill you, or I'm going to kill your friend. He says, I'm going to make you lose a limb. Says the Radvaz, three reasons you're not obligated to lose the limb. One reason is, he says, the Gemara says you have to pay money. Yes, you have to pay money in order not to violate Lo Tamu. I have to lose limbs? No, no such thing. Second is, some people who lose limbs die. It's sometimes a Sakhar Saver comes out to see the Lo. He says one time he saw somebody whose ear was cut off and he died. Okay, so it is possible. Now, he has to explain in Hilchos Shabbos, we're not Mechal Shabbos for that, but that's the second proof. The third thing he says is, Darche Darche Noam, the Torah is pleasant. It doesn't make any sense that Hashem would require I should lose my ear to save someone's life. Now, I hear it, but to me, it's a lot of they're strange. It's more unpleasant to go to this guy's levaya just because I want to have both ears. Like, I don't know exactly which way to go with that, but that is the idea of the Radvaz. This is quoted by the Pesach Chuvah that goes into, and the last line of the Radvaz says, you're not obligated to put yourself in danger to save somebody else, and somebody who does that is a chassid shota. It's a pious, foolish person. Pious fool, if somebody goes in danger's life to go save somebody else. Seems like, now Gudas Eidzov concludes this way, that there's no reason to endanger yourself to save somebody else, and not only that, it's usur. So, completely opposite extreme from the Hagos Maimon. Hagos Maimon says obligation. Radvaz says usur. Yad Eliyahu also comes out usur. I'm just going to go through the names, not through the back and forth. Eliyarabba. It seemingly is found also, Shulchan Aruch Rav is pretty clear, it's usur to endanger yourself to save somebody else. Kaf HaChaim, Kenasa Gedola. There's several Achronim who take this approach. It's not a lone approach, is one approach, is from one line of the Radbaz. There's another Radbaz who either is contradicting, we'll talk about more of the Radbaz, but another Radbaz who gives lots of different gradations of danger. We'll get to in a moment. But before that, who says there's somewhere in between? They understood the Pesach Teshuvah as saying, you're not obligated to do it like it goes Maimony. It's not usher either. It's somewhere in between. It's optional. And you shouldn't be so quick to dismiss the opportunity to save someone's life. You shouldn't be, when it comes to Shabbos Aveda, the Gemara has a phrase that you shouldn't be, you shouldn't make too many shikulim, too many estimations whether or not this is going to hurt my business because I'm doing the Shabbos Aveda. You should go do it. You should do chesed. So certainly when it comes to Lo Tavod, you should go above and beyond. So that's the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Moshe, Mincha Yitzchak, Rav Eliyashiv, Shevet Halevi, Shlomo Zalman, big gedolim, they all come out, one reason or the other, it's optional, not a mitzvah, not an achiyuv, not a iser. Okay, now, they're all in different explanations. I wish I had more time. Rav Moshe, he didn't see the Radbaz, but he comes up with his own cheshbon how to get to this conclusion, it's optional. He says, It's definitely not like the big three. You don't have to give your life mamish. But yet it is optional because he says, like Rashi says, if someone's life is going to die, if there's even neshama on either, one person or the other might die over here. So Hashem, that for that reason, you're not supposed to do an avira if someone's going to lose their life anyway. I'm allowed not to do an avira. If someone tells me Mechal Shabbos, I'm going to kill you. So I'm Mechal Shabbos because my life is more important than the Shabbos. Hashem prefers my life than the Shabbos. It's true. But when it's my life versus someone else's life, someone's life is going to lose. So then we say Aver is more important. So too, says Rav Moshe, it's Safik of my life, or Vadeh of his life. And I'm also going to do an Aver of Lo Tamud. So then, perhaps I'm allowed to, not a Chiyuv, but I'm allowed to go and save his life. Based on a similar argument, based on Rashi, as we're saying now, is if someone's life is on the line over here, and both people's lives are on the line, then we're no longer cheshbening whether or not this is an avera of your life coming first, and therefore you don't do the avera of lotam, and you're allowed to go and save him. Okay? That's the conclusion many achrim come to. The Radbaz is the most confusing. Okay? Because the Radbaz that's quoted in Pesach Teshuvah is like one line. Basically, there's no obligation, perhaps usher. There's another tshuva in the Radbaz. Rabbi Leich, in an article, wrote, I think it was 93, when the kidney transplant, it was many years before, and he says, it's a question, Rav Avadya quotes both the tshuvas of the Radbaz. Now, the other tshuva of the Radbaz, in Chelik Hay, Chelik Gimel was quoted. Chelik Hay was hardly quoted by anybody until the last 50 years or whatever, the last 75 years. It wasn't quoted very much in the Acharonim. And Rav Avadya quotes then and just says, you should learn one Radbaz in light of the other. They work together. What does the other one say? The other one says, do you have to save your life? Do you have to endanger your life to save somebody else? There's three categories. If the Hatzal is Krova from the Sakana, if it's more likely, I'll translate it this way, and then we'll talk about how to translate it. If it's more likely you'll be able to save him, it's more than 50% you'll be able to save him, then you'll die. It's Chayiv. You have to go save him. It's a little time not to save him. If it's Mukhra, if it's in between, so then you're allowed to. And if it is the Sakana is Krova LaHatzala, if it's more dangerous, then you're likely to save him. If it's more than 50%, you're going to die. If the risk is more than 50%, then it's Chasid Shote to go and save him. And that's the Chelek Hei Tshuva. So Rav Avadya just seems to put the two together and says, oh, when the Rav Avadya said you're not obligated, it meant it was so dangerous, more than 50% of the time you're going to go and die. And Rav Avadya says, in fact, that could be an answer for that. Goes Maimony, the Beis Yosef, they might be told, talking about, you're obligated to do it when it's not so dangerous. Okay. The Seitz Eliezer, and now Rav Avadya is not alone on this. Rav Asher Weiss also seemingly just puts together the two tshuvas. He just clarified what he meant in the other tshuva. Rav Zilberstein, the same thing. The Nitik Gavriel, he has a tshuva, he has a whole long piece on this. Same thing. Seitz Eliezer, same thing. Now, Rav Leich correctly notes a very big issue with this is the Radbaz says, when he's talking about giving up your ear to save somebody else, and he's calling that Sakanas Aver, and Sakanas Aver is not directly Kol Nefesh, as we know, not Mechal Shabbos for it, so it's certainly 50% or less, and yet the Radbaz says that you're not obligated to do that. But in light of the other tshuva, it's less than 50%, I should certainly be obligated. It's very, very, we're talking about two opposite extremes. If I'm not obligated to give my life for even Sakanas Aver, so why am I obligated to put myself in so much danger up to 50%? So it's very possible, very blessed, is correct, that there is a stira. Yes, there are different tshuvas that are advised. One is explaining the Rambam, one is the tshuva lamaisa, whatever it is, different tshuvas, and there's a machlokas over there. And what should you do about that? So I saw one extreme shita who says it's a stira, as Rabbi Lech was right, but we should paskin like the tshuva that's quoted in the Pischei Tshuva, the Chelek Gimel one, and it's usur to the Chassid Shotet to put yourself in any danger to save somebody else. That's like the Kaf HaChaim and the Shulchan Harav and the like. And he's talking about transplant. This is Asher Hanan. This is Rav Afello. He has Mesabu Chuvos, and he has an entire sefer on transplants. And he says it's Asher to do kidney transplant. Even he wrote this in 2014. So he was extremely, I would say, minor shita. We'll get to the maskana. You're waiting for maskana. He's an extremely minor shita, but his shita is any sakana you cannot enter to save somebody else's life. And he talks a lot about transplants, and he's not into them. And he says he would think even about the blood transfusion, but there he said Lulim Mustafina, he knows that the Gedolim said you're allowed to, so he said over there he is allowed to. And so yes, he has different lashonos, but that's what he says. He Lafi a nice deity, but he said he knows it, and everybody agrees with him about the kidney. So he said if it was up to him, he would say he's also do the kidney, but he says he knows Gedolim Matur. Okay, now that was his opinion. You can go the exact opposite extreme. This is what it sounds like. Nishmas Avram quotes from Rav Neubert. He says the opposite extreme, which of all the other tshuva, the chelik hay tshuva, that ending the other 50% is an obligation to go and do it. So it's an obligation to do the, let's say, kidney and the bone marrow, many other things. So there's an obligation. That's an opposite extreme. It is possible.
What does it mean? We have to all look around for opportunities to.
So I don't know. Okay, so I don't know if it's obligatory. Maybe. According to that approach, maybe. I don't know, all day. I think there might be, if the idea here is if the opportunity has presented itself, do you have to take it or not? Are you obligated to go find it? I don't know. I would say that shita is also an extreme shita. In between shitas, well, is what we said before, Rosh Hashanah, Rav Yashiv, and Shevet Alevi, they say, in this basic sugya, they say it's optional, not obligatory. Now, what about this tshuva that I advise? So, not everybody has to go with their advice, but let's say Rav Avadya, what did he do with their advice? So, he could have said, okay, it's a stira, not a stira, they just put them together and ignores the question. Okay, 30 years later, Rav Amar asked the question. And he deals with this in Chelek Ches, and he deals with this problem that Rabbi Bleich brought up, without quoting Rabbi Bleich, that it's difficult to miyashiv these chuas or advice. So, he follows the Rav Avadya. I meant to say it like that. I didn't mean, yes. So he follows the Rav Avadya. And he says, the way to explain this Rav Avadya in light of the other Avadya is, you are obligated to do anything that's less than 50% that's dangerous. You don't have to give up a limb to save somebody else, because once the limb is cut off, you're now in sakana. Will you get healed? Will there get infection? Will I be able to stop bleeding? Will there be inflection? That's a suffix, whether or not I will return to health. As opposed to the cases that are classic of the Gemara, is saving someone who's drowning. Saving someone who's drowning, I know very full well what the circumstances are. And therefore, I'm not going to necessarily enter any sakana. If I'm successful in saving the guy who's drowning, it's not that I entered sakana. I successfully saved somebody who was drowning. Or as I scared away the lion, or I scared away the terrorist. So then, I knew the situation, and I never was in sakana that I had to recoup from. Therefore, you're obligated to do something that you were never in sakana, as opposed to sakana we have to recoup from. That's sort of Amar's answer. So yes, in terms of transplants and things, he's very machmir in that. He doesn't come out an obligation on kidney. It's strange why he doesn't, according to that, because the statistics are nowhere near 50%. Certainly not when Amar wrote it. 50% vitality rate for the donor. Not even close. It was never that. In the 50s, it was experimental. And then when they did it on dogs, yes, 10 of them died, but 10 out of the 12 died. But when it's done on people in the 70s, already then, it was closer to 95% survival rate of the donors. By the 90s already, it was already like 3 in 7,000. And you get to 2000, Googling it now, now the numbers are from 2014, 3 in 10,000. There's complications and fatalities from donors, from kidney donors. My brother's a transplant surgeon, said he thinks that the newer studies that they're coming out with from the last 8 years are going to even be less than that. They're going to be like 1 in 10,000. Okay, whatever it is, it's nowhere near 50%. Nowhere near that. That's Rav Amar. Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Zilberstein have a different way of reading the Ravaz. It's pretty much lad dafka. They say when it means hatzala krovitz of a sakana, it doesn't mean 50%. It has nothing to do with numbers. Nothing to do with that. It just means, do I think about this as sakana? Rav Zilberstein says, if you would go to do a business meeting in this place, if you would go for money or for a job or for kavod, you'd do something, you would do this decision for another reason. I would endanger myself in this sort of way for money. So then, certainly I'm obligated to do it to save someone's life. He says, sakana here doesn't mean whether I'm going to die. It means a case that's dangerous. Putting yourself that people would consider danger and you wouldn't do it just to get money, that you're not obligated to do, to put yourself in dangers that people wouldn't do for money if you're going to save someone else. That's you're not obligated. It's optional. That's Rav Eliyahu, that's how Rav Zilberstein reads the Radvaz. And Rav Minchat Asher, he doesn't give you a very clear reading, but it's a similar, if it's very small, sakana katana ma'od, that's how he reads the Radvaz. It's a very, very small danger, then you're obligated, not small danger, not. It's a hard reading in Radvaz. Rav Shlomo Zalman has nothing to do with the Radvaz. He just paskins that. Rav Shlomo Zalman paskins, if it's chashasha rechoka, sakana rechoka, you're obligated to do it, otherwise not. He doesn't have to hold the Radvaz. Rav Shlomo Zalman says nitzvara, that we should have three categories of: if it's obligatory, if it's very, very small, if it's higher level sakana, you're it's optional, and if it's very dangerous, it's usur to do. Okay? That's the summary of the poskim. Now what are the psakim? Saying?
I don't know if I thought I remember if I saw it, I didn't see it. Not terribly concerned about the steer in the robots. Sakana Sefer, forget Sakana Sefer, and the Sefer itself is at least as much as Klei Mishnah Posuk. And if I'm not mokhi to give an aver to save somebody's life, even to no sakon at all, and you hold after you buy this kol nechosim, so an aver is like more than kol nechosim. If you're more than kol nechosim, keep the aver. Sofik sakona is not necessary. This is for the Radvaz. I'm not saying it as a svara, but the Radvaz could have held. There are enough people out there who are masakin themselves for money. So you see that sofik sakona is not the same as an aver.
So I don't have to give the aver. That part I don't have to go. But for Sofik Sakana, you do have to do.
Yeah, because people do not value a Sofik Sakana as Skolnoi. Particularly if you're talking about less than a word.
So I would say. But
it goes far beyond Shem Psoi.
Right, so I have a hard. Right.
There are people in Ukraine who are entering the army without having to be included because they want the money.
Yeah, so. The question is, why do I care so much about what people think about if it's sakana? Why don't I look at it objectively? Objectively, sakana's haver is not sakana's nefashos.
How much have to be nefashos?
But yet,
I'm at to see the shah.
But yet,
the shah says like that they can be for a lot for sakana's haver.
Yeah, yes.
So you see this light, it's kolomayna. People give kolomayna not to lose a hand.
That's true, but then why is suffix of sakana? Are you not?
Well,
you're not. Why are you not potter?
Lots of people.
What if lots of people do it? Why should I be obligated? I've become a chal Shabbos for this type of sakana. Why am I obligated to go do and lav to not violate a lav lo tamod?
That's held had an objective value. Suffix sakana is by definition not kolam right? Not kosher. I don't know. Whatever.
Okay. So the Pesachim here, so Shomer time. Rabbi Blechin in his article brought up the Shomer time that all the Pesachim should agree about the kidney transplant, about the any transplant. If it's less than the danger of Shomer time, whatever that number is, then you should be obligated to do it. It shouldn't just be. Now, in the Sita Yezer Avadya, Minchat Asher, the big Pesachim when they discuss it, the only one I saw brought it up was Mishnah Halachos. Nobody else brought up Shomer time by any of these transplants. Now, Reb Leich correctly did. And I wonder if everybody would agree. Not just because of the numbers. Let's say whatever the number is, 1 in 1,000. That's what the Stipler is quoted, and Reb Zilberstein comes up with 1 in 1,000. Less than 1,000. Reb Shorsky, he also comes up with the Magen Avraham, he also comes up with 1 in 1,000. Why do you say it's 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000? Not my discussion right now, what the number is for Ben Amin Shabbat. If it's not totally on a number, it has to do with danger, it has to do with people perceived. Leave it as it may, whatever the threshold is. So I thought perhaps
the
Shomer time is not applicable when we're talking about me saving somebody else. Because Ramosha says when he's talking about Moch, he says there's no Shomer time Hashem, Libid Rabbanan, or for anybody who's in Sakana. Or he's talking about a Chola. There's no din of Moch. They know din of Shomer time. I'm not allowed to rely on Shomer time. Because Shomer time is I'm allowed to do Keharagol B'nei Adam. I'm allowed to do Ketev. I'm not Mechuyev. This is a Rav Chanan. What's the Pshat in Shomer time? I'm allowed to act like normal people acting. So I'm allowed to do Akas Adam. I'm allowed to do Rav Moshe when he met the Miyuta Sakana about smoking many years ago. I'm allowed to do what normal people are doing. But if I'm a Chole and I'm doing something that is not so dangerous, Just because it's not so dangerous, other chola might do the same thing to me shamish without a moch for a chola. That's also, you're not allowed to be. So doing something that's individualized, that just applies to your situation, is not allowed to, because it's shomer Hashem, padayim Hashem, even if it's not so dangerous, you're not worried about it. So the same thing I would say about a transplant. The reason I'm doing transplants is just for fun. It's not just because I want to be like everybody else. No, not everybody's going doing transplants. The reason people do it is because there's a reason. Somebody is in danger. I'm saving their life. So then, it's a particular individualized situation. It's not limanemi minag derech eretz, that's shomer b'dayim. Shomer b'dayim Hashem. Here is not relevant because it's applying to one situation. I'm trying to save one person. And that's why I'm donating. That's not the same thing as shomer b'dayim Hashem. That's not minag derech eretz. That's an individualized case. That's my suggestion. I didn't say from anybody else. This is my suggestion why not everybody says shomer b'dayim. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
Moving on. The Shailas, okay, so what did the postum say on some of these things? About kidney, Ravadia is the first in the already 80s, 90s. He came out that it was mutter to donate transplant to donate a kidney, and he said it was 95% survival, but 5% of the donors had serious complications or fatality. Nonetheless, he said it was mutter. And the Shevet Alevi also basically likes the Radvaz. He theoretically allowed it, but he said not to. His day, he was not very hesitant because of dialysis. He said, "Look, they can go live with dialysis, and it's not because nefesh, just because that, it's a yisurin, they'll be difficult for them." Okay, now, unfortunately, the case is often that dialysis does not last. People don't live on dialysis nearly as long as they would live with a transplant. There's many statistics for this, many statistics, and many uvdot I know personally. Mincha Yitzchak. Kidney transplant in his day. Sitali Ezer, many tshuvas, four tshuvas, same thing, didn't allow the kidney transplant. Now, it's very strange. Because of the sakana, because you're putting yourself in the sakana. Now, the problem is, the reason that Sitali Ezer gave is because he said it's so dangerous. It's very, very, it's not just very likely. All the poskim, the Nishma Savram quotes all the poskim, Rabbi Yashar Shalom Zaman, that say, Bizmana Zeh, we assume it's not very dangerous. The numbers that the Sitali Ezer had in front of him was that it was like, I don't know, 40% of people donating kidneys died. Okay. The Messias is, it's 95%, and it's not even that, and that was in the 90s. Now it's 1 in 10,000 die. So, okay. So now it's certainly Mutter Le Kuliyama. I don't know about the Asher Chana, the Rav Afelo, but basically for all the other postkim, it's mutter donor kidney, and I've heard from Arabim that it's a mitzvah rabba, and Rav Asher Weiss says Lula Mistafina, he would say it's a chiyuv. He says so sakana rochoka, it's a chiyuv to do donating a kidney. People do it for money, or used to do it for money, so you could do it even, you say it's a chiyuv to do, but he said since Rav Yashar and Shlomo Zalman didn't say it was a chiyuv, they said it's optional, so he didn't want to say it's a chiyuv to do. On bone marrow trans.
If there's a new halacha, you don't need to give an avery. I don't think you have a kidney either. The sarcoma is a red herring. It's not sarcoma. The sarcoma is general anesthesia.
Right, general anesthesia.
And, the only other is an avery. So what if I have a spare time? I have two hands also.
So. The reason that I don't think Rashi Eliezer likes that argument, that just like the Rav says, I'm not going to give him my ears, so I'm not going to give him my kidney. I'm not so sure that's so poshut. The reason for the Radvaz is because it's not Darchei Noam that I should be missing an ear. This is Darchei Noam. People live with one kidney. Or the other reason of the Radvaz of is people. Sometimes people die. Who the reason? Sometimes people never. Sometimes Aver leaves. Someone dies. As he saw the case, the guy who lost his ear died. Yeah, that doesn't apply over here. The first reason of his potter, because you only spend money, you don't have to give up an ear. That's far, I would say, is sorry to potter giving up a kidney.
That's all you need.
Okay, there's a Russia wife wouldn't have to be argued. That first reason of the advice, he's not convinced why. That reason was never quoted. Until the last 75 years, no one quoted that part of the Ravaz. The last part everybody quoted. That first far. Darkinoyan. Darkinoyan, people could. No, but the. Fine. I meant, yeah, okay. About giving blood either bone marrow or blood transfusion, the second is like 1 in 100,000. It's extremely. You don't even need to do full anesthesia at all for these things. Shevet Alevi said you're chayiv, and he had if they're taking out all the blood and they're filtering it through to take out platelets, Now, they don't have to do that to take out the platelets. They can do it without filtering, taking out. But he says, there, you're not mechuyev to do it. The Dibri Yitziv, okay, the Bava River was not into it. Fine. Nizel the Sitz Eliezer in his day. Hosenberger. Okay. But Lamaisa, Nishmas Avram quotes the Rav Neuberg saying it's a chiyuv to do the blood, if you match, to do a blood marrow because it's not so dangerous, like the Shevet HaLevi. Rav Asher Weiss also thought it was a chiyuv, but not the Nishmas Avram quoted Rav Eliashiv or Shlomo Zalman that thought it was optional. Okay. What about. Okay, and.
They thought it was
Sakana, but it may depend on whether someone thinks Shomer Pataim is relevant. If Shomer Pataim is irrelevant, so then it doesn't matter how dangerous.
I don't know how you define society, but the Shomer Pataim depends on whether people accept it as a review. I don't know who people are.
But what if I don't care what people think? I say this is a one-person decision. Bone marrow, we don't have, it's not as many people smoke as many people do the bone marrow. It's people, how many people smoke? Millions and billions. How many people do the bone marrow? A few. So that's not the Shomer Pataim. That's why I'm not sure you can say Shomer Pataim.
You're telling me that a lot of people think the bone marrow is dangerous.
Not because they think it's dangerous. How many people have done it? And the Torah. Fine. Okay. So about three. So that is no, because it's the minhag derech eretz to have tashmish. That's the minhag derech eretz. So then, without the moch is it's the minhag derech eretz. The minhag derech eretz is without the moch. So that was everybody. That was the whole world. So therefore, you're allowed to be like that world.
Right.
You're allowed to do things that everybody else does. Donating a bone marrow is not the whole world. Not the whole world did it yet.
But they don't have the opportunity.
Okay. So
what would they do?
Fine.
The community of scientists all tell you the Shomer Pataim. The people out there. Okay. I'll tell you something. Want to hear the ultimate you have? I was once asked by a seventh generation Yerushalmi.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to do a blood test on his daughter. Mm-hmm. And I had a pinprick. A simple pinprick. He asked me a shaila. He wants to know if it's a sarcoma. The doctor doesn't trust me, he trusts. And I had to explain to him that there's no sakona whatsoever.
Right.
Okay,
shall
we
explain
that? He made sure, Sashem Shoah, when Yasha is at Sephra, said, I'm putting to do things like bone marrow transfer. And that society.
It's a Ramada plug.
In that society, certainly that Shomer Pataim.
When
the who? But who's Kaveya? Is it every shulman, every country, or people who know?
Okay,
definitely not people who know.
Okay, third shaila was about giving up terrorists in order to get back hostages by Entebbe or this negotiating with terrorists. Are you allowed to do it? So. And then they had, at the time when it was raid on Tebu, that Shaila came up, the Gedolim discussed it, and Rav Eliashiv and Rav Ben Zion Bashaul, Rav Avadya, they all came out, it was allowed. Now, what's the Shaila? If we were saving somebody, wonderful, you're saving Pidyon Shvuim. The problem is you're endangering the rest of Klal Yisrael by giving up these terrorists. They might endanger someone else. So are you allowed to save somebody else? He's allowed to save somebody by endangering the entire Klal Yisrael. So Rav Avadya gave. He first said it's the same thing as this machlokas. I was Radvaz, it goes Maimony, and because you're saving someone, Vada, it's something you're going to save. And then he says it's not exactly the same. Similarly, like Noda Behuda in terms of Chol of Hanecha. The fact that you free a terrorist doesn't mean someone's going to die tomorrow because the terrorist was freed. And therefore, it's mutter l'kuli alma to give up to save the hostages by freeing the terrorist. Because the danger that you're having from the terrorists being freed is not immediate. Rav Eliashiv, Rav Shach, Rav Stipler, they're all okay with it. It never came out that they gave up the terrorists for the hostages, but that was what the Gedolim came out. Rav Yisraeli doesn't like this psak in the sense that he says you're causing a michshel. This is the same reason that Chazal said you're not allowed to put a shvuim yotuk v'day demem. You're causing a sakana to the entire Klal Yisrael, a sakana l'rabim. Forever by giving back terrorists, they're going to take more hostages, and therefore he didn't think this is a particular question of pikuach nefesh, one person versus one terrorist. No, you're pikuach nefesh versus the pikuach nefesh of all Klal Yisrael. He wasn't so into that, and it gets us to the question of a medic in war, are you allowed, is it a mitzvah, is it optional for a medic or a Hatzalah member to go save somebody in a dangerous place? So Chas v'Shalom, the Jew is in a town that's being raided by, that's being, that has, there's terrorists coming, or there's missiles, and a medic is called, or a Hatzalah member is called, to go save somebody who's bleeding out, and if I don't go and save them, they're going to die. Do you have a chiv to go save them? Seemingly, it's exactly the same machlokas. I go to my say, chiv, you have to go and save them. And the Red Baz would say, no, you don't have to. And then, depending on the different shitas, you say, also remote, they're optional. Okay, that's possible. That's what Resolution quotes are really, y'all should find. That's optional. Sitalyash has four reasons. I don't know, we'll get to all. It's a chiyuv on the medic to go and save them in the time of war. One of them is, war, we forget about all pikos nefesh. Why? Because it's a heter to, for a king to go to war. And he quotes a sifri that says, Yachol as mutter pikos v'shvichos damim, it's allowed to kill people for no reason. Tamalim rishar to be called ra. You're not in war, you're not allowed to kill people for no reason. So he quotes a sifri de Rav, who is the Rav David Pardo, the commentator on the sifri. He says, what was the Havamina? We'd kill people in war just for fun, like that's allowed? Of course not. So the Havamina says, oh, it's this Rav Vaz. The sifri is telling us, Havamina, you're not allowed to endanger yourself. You shouldn't be a medic in war. You shouldn't save people if it's endangering yourself. It's also to do that. Tam and Lomar, Nishon called Ra, you have to keep Lo Tamod in war, and Badafki, you're supposed to go save people in war. Okay, so I thought it was a nice drasha, but that Sikhtal doesn't remind much past that. He has several other reasons that in war, that you're Mechayev to go. It's the Sikhtal Yezer. That it, the medic is obligated, not just a, so he has another one is like what Rebbe brought up about mercenaries, that to, for a job you could take sakana, like the Marim Baba Metzia Kofiot Bees Lamatala Zabi Elon, a person is allowed to work in a coal mine or do something dangerous, or Moshe has a tshuva about someone's a ball player or a boxer, you're going to get your brains knocked out, you're allowed to do it, and that's even, it's dangerous, it's not because of Shomer B'Dayim, but it's mutter because for Parnassah you're allowed to do things that are dangerous. So to the medics, a lot of do things that are dangerous. Okay, but it doesn't help the Hatzalah member who's volunteering to go to a dangerous place where there is terrorists. But that's what Sitz Eliezer says, by war, we're not worried about Bekuch Nefesh. Big Chiddush. He has two other reasons. Rapo Yerapay says you're allowed, a doctor's allowed to do something, so it means even allowed to endanger himself. It's not really a riot for that.
Does it say you're allowed to do things that are dangerous, or that there are very few occupations that are not perfectly safe?
Okay, so yes. I don't know if you could do something. Yes. Important. Correct. So the two correct. Ramosha was saying about boxing and about the Nodbi here is about hunting. You're allowed to do. Are you allowed to be a mercenary in war? The resolution quotes the Emre Yeh. She quotes two tshuvas achron who are allowed to be paid to be a soldier in a very dangerous war. Now, yes, Ramosha doesn't say that far, but I agree. So it depends on. Okay. Fourth Shaila. That's the fourth Shaila.
Another story for the minute.
Yeah, what's the other?
The others won't fight.
Oh, that's the yes. Sitz Eliezer says that as well. That's a big chiddush. He says that he calls that Hatzalah of Rabbim. So Ramosha quotes a story. There's many stories in the Gemara. Esther endangered her life by going to Achashverosh to save all of Klal Yisrael. Or Pupios of the Luyano saved. Yeah,
the
of course.
Sora,
but Pupios of the Luyano were saving one town and they gave up their lives.
The strongest of all the swords. Soldiers go to fight because they know that their backs are being covered. Something happens, they'll come. If that medic's not going to come for me, I'll find a way to get it to disappear.
Right.
The heads are both.
Right. That relates. Yeah, so. Not to get to all the so the little mice shells that come out of this is as a soldier in Israeli army and he's in Chutzlar, it can get is he mechuyev to go back, and if he's in Israel, could he avoid being called or whatever like that? It very much relates to some of these different shitas. If you purely just be forget about the war, just a shayla of saving other people's lives, just because then this be this very clear machlok, because many gedolim will come out as optional, not obligatory. However, with the Sitz Eliezer in mind, so now it's an obligatory thing to go save. Yes, I heard this week, Asher Weiss was asked about this. A guy, his father was very, very nervous. He didn't want him to go. He's in the Meluim. He could be called up, but he said, if you don't call, don't turn on your phone and go to someone else's house, they can't knock on your door and evade the army. Asher Weiss said, he has an obligation to go and to save other people's lives, to go in the army, and even though it's in some danger, it's true. He has an obligation to go save people's lives. He's part of the army. However, he had to share the opposite. Someone who finished his army service, but he wasn't yet in Meluim, in between, and he fell in the cracks. He never called up. He was not obligated. He wanted to volunteer. His wife didn't want him. Rav Asher Weiss said, this is exactly the Shaila. He's not Mechuyev. He should listen to his wife.
This is Shaila. This is Shomi Yatsar. It's a Chem Smitzer.
Okay, so yes, it is Muhammad's mitzvah. Rav Asher always did bring that up, but he Okay, so yes, that's relevant. But he thought if you're not out, if the army is not asking you to have to come, so you're not mechuyev to volunteer. That was. Five and six will finish quick. Someone who is a doctor who is pregnant and she was treating someone with German measles. If she goes in and she didn't have vaccinated before her vaccine, whatever, is she allowed to say, I don't want to treat this patient because I'm afraid of catching it and it'll cause danger to my fetus with the German measles? So easy to just find a different doctor. Who's not immunocompromised. But Rav Zilberstein discusses this and he says, same thing. It's optional. Rav Eliashiv. But the question he has that's interesting. Sorry that I didn't spell out was a woman who the doctors say they're carrying a very dangerous pregnancy. If she carries, she might die. And it's very clear, for whatever reason, she is immunocompromised and she might die for this. And for this reason, Rabbi will discuss, you could abort the fetus, for sure, even according to the Mishnah and all those, because it's the conduct of the mother's life. Okay, yet, is she allowed to decide, yes, I don't want to abort, I know I might die in the delivery or in the pregnancy, am I allowed to continue? So, first of all, Zilberstein says it's usher because you can't put yourself in so much sakana that 50% you might die just to save somebody else, just to make the baby, just to give birth to this baby. Then he goes to Yaivich and says a fascinating shot that if you're by a burning building or something like that and your only son is in the burning building, you're allowed to go in even though you may die, very, very high likely you'll die. For anybody else, it says usher to save someone in such a situation. It's so dangerous that you're for sure going to die, or more than 50% you're going to die. But if it's your son, you're allowed. So it's a very strange yavitz. But he says pshat in the yavitz is so that this way, it's like someone's matzil nefesh is like matzil kol olam kulo kol shekeinu is your son, because then it's going to mean that you had puravu, you had saved the whole. It's like you have the many children, many generations that come out of you. So it's like hatzol harabim. You're allowed to save. You're allowed to endanger your life. You're allowed to give up your life to save hatzol harabim. So Zilberstein says the same thing about this pregnant lady. A fascinating psak. I would think Ramosha would not agree with that. Shabbat Shabbaton is Hilchot Yom Kippurim. I put it in there. It's in there.
The higher ones are made up, not the
nicer. I don't know if this is made up. Maybe the case is made up. I'm saying
the
Yavitz isn't
made up.
No, the Yavitz is
real. Application of random mikoros that
are so. Yeah, I don't. The case, whether it happened or not, it doesn't bother me. Anyway, last Shaila was a child donating a kidney. A father had kidney failure and asked the child, and they matched. Good. The kid is 6 years old. Are they allowed to say, yeah, we decided for the kid to do it? And let's say the kid agrees. Are they allowed to take his kidney? Rav Asher Weiss comes out, no, because he says basically his sheet is it's not obligatory to do the kidney transplant donation. It's only optional, and he's not a bar hachi to make it. He's not a bar das to make such a decision. But he says, however, if the father's going to die, and the Beis Din apotropos can make a decision, a third party make it that it's a zechus. So then zachem me'adam, we'll pass in the ksos that you could take away zachem me'adam to take away his kidney to save his father. This kid be better off for the kid to have a father than to have the second kidney. And there's a little raya from the Mordechai who says, if I have a choice to save my life or to cut off someone's arm, you're allowed to go and go cut off his arm to save your life. It's the same thing here. The father, yeah, he might be taking away a kidney from his son, but maybe it's mutter to do such a thing. Anyway, big discussion.
Next week of my life is going to
be Thursday.